Today's special weekend edition of Truth to Ponder may change your life.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to a very special extra edition, weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Now, I need to share just a few thoughts and explain what's on the program today, what's been transpiring in the days past, and what we anticipate in the days ahead. As many of you know, my wife and I are currently in the state of Florida. We have a lot of family business and really important things that just couldn't wait. And we had to make a very special trip. I'm glad that we did. It gave me some opportunities to spend time with family here. There are things, like I said, that need to be done that have just taken a lot of our time. The worst part is we've been living in the mountains for so long. We forget just how warm it can be in Florida. Now, I lived in Florida for many, many years, and I kind of learned when living here, there are certain things you just don't do to exert yourself in the month of July, August, and September. You kind of back off a little bit, and I kind of paid a price for it earlier this week. I really pushed myself a little bit too hard physically. And I ran myself on the verge of basically a heat stroke or heat exhaustion. But I'm doing better today. We're getting there. And I'm just having to learn to pace myself. And I had to take a couple of days away from the things I really wanted to do just to recoup. Your prayers are always appreciated. As I said, we are here in Florida. This coming week, I've got a couple of other things that I'm trying to get done away from the house. I'll pace myself better, of course, on one of the jobs than I did last week. But I also have an opportunity to speak to somebody in Vero Beach. Now, this trip has been rather rewarding. I've had the opportunity of reconnecting with some friends of mine from the days that I lived here in Vero Beach. And there's a little opportunity that has presented itself. I'm meeting with some people this coming Wednesday, 11 o'clock local time here in Florida. And something, when I had the opportunity to sit down with my good friend, I just felt there was this ministry opportunity that needed to be explored. And so I'm making the trip to Vero Beach from where we live, just about 45 minutes, not a big deal. And plan to spend some time looking into this. And so your prayers are always appreciated. The other thing that was kind of exciting, along with the work we're trying to get done on the house, and I really could use your prayers on that, just trying to figure things out for the family. And so would you continue to pray? It would mean a lot to me. But one of the fun aspects, and I use that term kind of loosely, one of the things I've enjoyed the most being here in Florida was the opportunity to preach at a church in Vero Beach. A good friend of mine is the pastor of Freedom Church, and I've known him for a while. And he asked me when I was down here, because he needed to get away himself to spend time with family out of state. And I said I'd be honored and delighted to fill in for you at your church. There are some people in that church, couple of their members that I've known, one of the members, for over almost 25 years now. Hard to believe how many years have gone by. And there are people that I know. And I had the opportunity of being in a church that's a little different from the church that I normally pastor on a Sunday. But I had a great time. And something really, how do I put it? Something spectacular happened in that message. And let me kind of give you some background. You know, I normally start preparing a message early on in the week, think it through, read, study, prepare, make some bullet points to myself to try to comprehend what God may be wanting me to speak upon. And with our travel coming down to Florida, you know, for me and my wife and our two little dogs, it takes 2 days. And with what I'm dealing with health-wise, I have to make a lot of frequent stops. So it's not like we can drive 5.5 hours one day, 5.5 hours the next. It's more like 6 or 7 each day because of all the stops. And then we have to check in and try to get our little dog settled down. and try to get something to eat, try to get some sleep, and try to hit the road again. There was just so much on our mind, and when we got to Florida, there was so much that needed to be done. It's literally overwhelming. And so I just didn't have the mindset for preparing a message like I normally do. And as we got closer to Sunday and we're working hard here at the house and trying to get things ready and then get ready to go to church on Sunday morning to do this service at 10 a.m. We had to leave a little before 9 to get up there in time. I'm going, Lord, I just don't have a message. And I felt so inadequate. I said, I don't know what's wrong, God. I just don't know. And I said, you're going to have to get me through it. And as we were heading up, actually early in the morning on Sunday, God laid a couple of scriptures on my mind. And when I got to the church and they have a praise band and they do a time of worship, I just looked at those scriptures and said, Lord, is this your message? And what is that message contained in these two seemingly unrelated verses, but they are really related when you see how they tied together. And so I shared this message this past Sunday at Freedom Church. Something tells me that there is somebody listening right now where this message will give you the freedom you have been seeking. Now, Heavenly Father, as we go into your word, I pray that you'll open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive what you have for us. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Normally, as I prepare to do a message for my little church up in Virginia or anywhere else that I preach, I generally have a feel for where God is leading, sometimes days or weeks in advance, sometimes a few days in advance, it becomes really clear. This week was not one of those weeks. This was like, nothing is coming. Lord, we're traveling, we're driving, we're coming to this place. We have a lot of work to do at our home. And all week I'm going, what am I going to talk about? It's just not there. Normally God just lays it on my heart. Last night, I was getting rather desperate, not knowing where to even start. And I'm not going to dwell on this, but just for maybe just a matter of a moment or so. I'm sitting in front of a computer looking at news stories, looking at Bible verses, looking for inspiration, going, God, what am I going to preach on? Had the TV set on in the background, and the news came that we all heard. And I'm hearing, I had the rally on in the background. It was just on. And I heard it, and I turned around, and I didn't see anyone standing there. And I'm going, oh, Lord, what happened? And it hit me several things. Number one, the Bible verse that came to mind, teach us, Lord, to number our days. We don't know what that number may be. And sadly, there are those in that crowd that came to meet their eternity unbeknownst to them as a surprise to them at the last moment. The suddenness. When my wife and I, when we travel coming from Virginia down to Florida, how many times do we see crosses on the side of the road? And we wonder, what happened? Was it 2 o'clock in the morning? Was somebody drinking? Was somebody just not paying attention? Was it a slippery road? What was the condition that caused this to happen where somebody lost their life and there's now a cross or a memorial or flowers? How many times have we seen that? Hey, let's see if I can get up here. My legs are doing better this time than last time I was here. I can actually, you don't know what I've been going through. I'm feeling better today. Oh, a clock. So that's what that thing is. We never know. You could feel great one day, go to the doctor the next and get a diagnosis that may not be good. You may not know how long you have. And so how do we live our lives understanding that we don't know a Bible verse out of Hebrews, just a little bit of the closing remarks that the writer of Hebrews gives. He said, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever." Then he warns them not to be carried out by any strange or unusual doctrines or beliefs, to follow steadfast in the word of God as given to you, as you have received, that stays in perfect harmony with all of Scripture. Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and forever. There was a hymn written by A.B. Simpson, about 100 years or more, like 120, 30 years ago. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never, glory to his name. As I meditated last evening and into this morning, Lord, we know you're the same today, tomorrow, forever, yesterday. You've been since the beginning, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And there are patterns that are taught to us in Scripture that never change. Now, let me say that again. There are patterns that are taught to us on how God deals with his people in the Bible, in the Scripture, that never change. And when I woke up this morning, Lord, where do we go with this message today that I just don't have? It was around maybe 4 o'clock this morning. I kind of was half awake. And these words came to me, and I remembered where they're from. And I realized, Lord, this is going to be your message today, isn't it? From the book of Isaiah. As they would say, who'd have thunk it? This chapter in Isaiah, I could probably, and I'm not, because I'm not going to be here next week or any other time in the near future, I can't start a series, but I could do a series on this. And I am very tempted to do that, even with my own congregation. How many of us, and I say that because I'm no different than any of you. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I am no different, no better, probably in some cases even worse than many of you have ever been or ever thought you could be, no matter how great my upbringing in God's word in his church has been. What does the Bible say? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Oh, believe me, I'm one of them too. I think of how many people whose lives they believe have been so destroyed, God can't fix me, God can't save me. How many people think that today? This is what I call a strange, and what the Bible uses in the old King James, the divers doctrine. In other words, fake doctrine, fake gospel, the devil's doctrine, trying to tell you, you're so bad, God can't fix you. You're so far gone, God can't save you. You can plead out to God all you want. He doesn't want you. How many people believe that's true? Sadly, a lot. And they avoid places like this for fear that they're going to come under some kind of condemnation. It's just going to make them feel worse about themselves and about who they are and about their destiny and this woe is me. What am I going to do with myself? As I said, in God's word, we learn something. There's a pattern. Even his people, his chosen Israel, we know, you can look at the prophet Hosea, who was ordered to marry a prostitute, as a witness to the people about how God looked upon his children. They were out there just hanging out with all the wrong doctrines, all the wrong gods, all the wrong people, all the wrong things. And this example that was set forth, they could see it. They could see it. How many times have we failed God after claiming that we are one of his followers? How many times have we come up short? How many times do we need his grace over and over again in our lives? How many times do we need his forgiveness? That question was raised by Jesus' own disciples. Lord, how many times do we forgive our brother? In other words, Lord, how many times are you going to forgive me? It's kind of, we've heard that saying, asking for a friend. How many times do we do that? You know, I got this question, just asking for a friend. And that's what Peter was doing. How many times do we forgive? Seven times? Maybe more? Seven times 70. In other words, an infinite number. It never ends. Our ability to forgive should be like God's ability to forgive us if we, and in a very liturgical service, which when I conduct those, if we are faithful to ask his forgiveness, he is faithful to forgive us if we do it in a true and contrite heart. Not just mouthing words, not just making some kind of a broad statement, oh, Lord, forgive me, with the intent of going right back to doing what you were doing. That's not repentance. Repentance means, Lord, I am sorry and I am going to turn away from. I do not want to do this anymore. Though even St. Paul points out, Lord, I don't want to do this yet. I find myself from time to time doing it again anyway. Lord, if this would only stop. His forgiveness is broad. It is wide. And it is available to those with a true and contrite heart. So let me take you just to a few verses in Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. That applies to a lot of people, and it's not just a jail or a prison put out there by a government. It's the prisons that we put ourselves into as well. I know many here can understand what I mean when I say that, that we become victims of our own prison and we can't even escape it because we've lost the key. The key is Jesus Christ. He can open that cell. He can open that door. He can change your life, no matter how bad you think your life is today. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance to our God, to comfort all those that mourn. Now here's the verse that came to mind in the wee hours of this morning. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. I'm going to stop right there. When I heard, I can remember, there was a song that was done about, 20 years ago? He gives beauty for ashes. How many remember that song? Yeah, I remember, he gives beauty for ashes. And it dawns on me the true meaning of what that is, beauty for ashes. As you are in the season of Lent, if you remember what that is, it begins with a day called Ash Wednesday. And a lot of people have lost sight of what that really means. Why was there an Ash Wednesday practiced in the early church and even in many churches to this day? What is it all about? You got this little dark spot on your forehead. What does it really mean? And I think we've lost sight of the culture of the time of what ashes represented. It's not that we are in mourning. It's not that we want to look pitiful. How many of you ever heard of lava soap? What is it made of? Ashes. It's a very powerful soap. What did they use in ancient times as a cleanser? Ashes. It wasn't some humbling thing, oh Lord, I'm covered in ashes, to look miserable. It was a sign of being cleansed. We are clean. Another old song from way back in my youth, 50 years ago or more. Honey Tree, she's now a little old lady, is singing, clean before my Lord I stand, and in me what not one blemish does he see. What happens when we are cleansed? Beauty. How many here, how many that are watching, feel they're no longer beautiful before God? Lord, I can't be beautiful anymore. I have done this, I've done that, I've done the other. My life is so screwed up. And what does the pattern teach in Isaiah? He gives beauty for ashes. Apply those ashes, become clean before me, and I will make you beautiful again. I will restore you. You may not be the same, but you will be fulfilled. You will be restored sufficient with my grace. And then he says, give the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. The church, especially what I call the first church of the curmudgeons, they shoot their wounded. Nah, you're not good enough. You're not worthy enough. You're not clean enough. You're not right enough to be in our church. You're not a church. You're just a club. You're just, you know, you're basically a spiritual moose club or something. I don't know. But you're not a church. A true church is the living body of Christ on this earth. I've been teaching that message to my congregation now for many, many weeks, reminding of them of the term ecclesia, the called out, the separated. We are not of this world anymore. We are of Christ. We are his living body on this earth, and every one of us. I don't care how broken you think you are, how useless you think you are. I don't care if you don't have the right education. I don't care if you think you're not good enough. You are good enough for God to send his son to die for you on the cross, to shed his blood to redeem you. Amen. So that's good enough.
Amen.
That's good enough. I never thought I would see this in my ministry. And I've had a few people. I mean, when you live, how do I put it? When you're not in ministry, you know, the guy up in the front, so to speak, the guy that's supposed to have all the answers, and quite often I don't have all the answers. I have to find them and pray them out myself too. I'm no different. I have met so many people that will tell me, when talking about becoming a member of a church, maybe even getting baptized, whatever the case may be, but I'm not good enough. I'm just not good enough. They're believing a lie to beat them down, that I'm not good enough. I don't care who you are. You were good enough for Jesus to go on that cross, to die for you, and he did it for you once and for all. Don't ever think you're not good enough. Oh, then I get this other lie of the devil. I'll just throw this out in passing. When I read in the Bible, they're the unforgivable sin, and I'm afraid I committed it. Let me give you a little word of good news. If you are afraid that you committed the sin against the Holy Ghost, you could not have ever committed the sin against the Holy Ghost. It's impossible to even ask if you've ever done it.
Amen.
If you ever thought that you did, then you obviously didn't. I learned that a long time ago because that was one of those lies of the devil. Did I ever? That one that's not forgiven. There may be many out there that have. And 2 Thessalonians says they're given over to mass delusion. To believe a lie under their own damnation is what it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Read it. It pretty well describes a lot of what we see around us today. It really does. It is prophetic words in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So never, ever believe even for one second that that's a sin you committed. If you are thinking it, you didn't. It wouldn't even be on your radar screen. The Bible's full of good news. And they shall build up the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. There's some good news in Isaiah. But for some people today, maybe someone here, maybe someone else elsewhere, it's going to come down to this. He gives beauty for ashes. How many of you today, starting to preach like a Baptist here, but as I'm just sharing with you, I just hear these words just rushing into me. And I'm just trying to sort them out as they come through, almost at a speed hard to even comprehend. How many are telling themselves, I'm not clean enough yet. I'm not good enough yet. I'm still too broken. How many people are still broken? How many people have a hard time getting to this first step to fully recover in the grace of Jesus Christ? How many are standing at the door, Lord, I want to come through and be made whole again. I want to be restored in your presence. I come here every week, Lord. I pray and I think and I read books and I read the Bible. But Lord, I'm standing at this door and I just can't walk through. God, why can't I break through? I'm going to give you an answer. You're not breaking through because you don't want to. That may be hard to hear. And you may not want to because someone has deceived you into thinking that you're not clean enough before your Lord. You're not restored enough. You got to be fixed. I mean, this is why I talk about the first church of the curmudgeons.
Well, before you come to our church, where is your suit and tie? Why are you not properly attired to be in our worship service here among the chosen frozen?
A lot of people face that in churches. There's a story told, I'm not sure how true that it is. You know, it's one of those stories that gets out there, and it could be, maybe it's an urban legend, maybe there's some truth in it. I tend to believe that it's a compilation of similar stories over many decades about a pastor that was going to be a candidate at a rather prestigious church. And he decided to come to that church on that Sunday morning, a little bit early. But he was not dressed in his suit and tie. Or if he's liturgical, one of these, you know, dog collars. He came looking like a street bum. He intentionally had missed his shower and made sure that he was ripe for the occasion. he looked like something a little on the frightening side. You'd, you know, like the urban outdoorsman type. And he shows up, and he comes to the door of that church. Now, people are concerned, where's this new pastor? He's not here yet. He's supposed to be coming in for his big audition. And this guy comes into the church, and of course, the ushers and everybody, oh, you cannot come in here. No, 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 you're not, no, you cannot be here. So they push him off to the side. Well, he knew how to get into another part of the church, and so he comes in and he has his credentials with him and introduces himself at the other door. Yeah, I was just trying to see, do you welcome those that are not clean yet before your Lord? It shocked that congregation. The urban legend goes that they did hire him, whether it's true or not. But I can see an element of truth. I can see me pulling a stunt like that. Believe me. Actually, I have. Almost. Pretty close. Don't ever believe the lie that you're not clean enough for Jesus. Amen. Don't ever believe the lie that you're not good enough for the Holy Spirit to fill you. Don't ever believe the lie that you are not savable, that you're too far gone. That is a lie from the pits of hell. And sadly, too many believe it. And the First Church of the Curmudgeons amplify it. Don't believe the lie. Now, Lord, where do I take this? I have a feeling I know. In a little while, not long from now, I'm going to stand before this table. And we are going to gather around the Lord's table and celebrate this gift that our Lord Jesus has given us to partake of Him. I'm reminded of something that has been thoroughly misunderstood by many Christians for, well, since the time of when Paul wrote the church in Corinth explaining how to do communion. There have been a lot of misunderstandings. The Bible, and here's another lie of the devil. The Bible says, do not partake unworthily. It doesn't say that I have to be worthy. Did you catch that? It's subtle, but it's huge. Lord, I come to your table. I am unworthy, but I'm not going to take it in an unworthy manner. In other words, I'm not going to be flippant about it. I'm not going to be making a joke about it. I'm not going to take it for granted. I'm going to come here, as one of the old ancient hymns says, I come, O Savior, to thy table, for weak and weary is my soul. The bread of life alone are able to satisfy and make me whole. Lord, may thy body and thy blood be for my soul the highest good. Don't ever think you have to be worthy to take of the Lord's table, because guess what? I am not worthy. I never was worthy, and I never will be worthy. It's only by his grace. We just come, Lord, in repentance. We come, Lord, wanting to be changed. We come, Lord, wanting to be filled with the power of your Holy Spirit. We want to be changed. We want to be reconciled unto you. And Lord, don't let the liar deceive us any longer about why I can't do this or I can't do that or I'm not worthy enough or I'm not worthy enough for this. Stop believing the lie. How many people have heard the term, Lord, thank you for this, being in bondage to sin? How many have heard that term? May not apply to anybody here. Then again, you never know. There are people that are held in bondage to their sin.
and they feel that their sin is so bad that even if I confess it, God will never forgive it. It was too bad, Lord. I really screwed up that time. Or I did this, you know, back in 1968. And Lord, you'll never be able to forgive me. If we confess our sins unto Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. If He didn't, then He wasted His time on the cross. There was no need for a resurrection. What does the Bible, what does St. Paul said? Without the resurrection, we're the most miserable of all people on the face of the earth. But we do have the resurrection. That's why we have this table. And like I say, in just a little bit, we're going to gather. But we're also going to gather knowing everybody in this room. I'm praying that everybody in this room will apply the ashes to themselves. And as we apply and wash away, we'll stand clean before our Lord. I can remember the first time I even heard that song. It had to be like 1973 or 4, probably 74. That's 50 years ago. Where did 50 years go? I was driving on the Long Island Expressway going to college at St. John's University. And I had a radio station on from Hackensack, New Jersey that had just gone, quote, contemporary Christian for their day. And there were several songs that just stand out to me to this day. One, the title is Nobody Knows Me Like You, Lord. And the other one, and I can remember driving to the campus and that guitar playing, it's very acoustic, clean before my Lord I stand, and in me not one blemish does He see. Now that He's taken all my burdens away, wow. Do you still think you can't be forgiven? Is there anybody listening, anybody in this room, anybody watching that still thinks that they cannot be forgiven for what they have done? Are you really believing the lie that you're too far gone? Well, God's going to give you beauty for ashes. No matter how ugly you think you are before God, He's going to make you beautiful again. Amen. And you'll become the apple of His eye. Many people face some really difficult circumstances in their life. Many people have almost lost their life. They've come real close. God wants to rescue you today. No matter where you are, no matter who you are, no matter what you think you may have done, God is going to rescue you today. I'm asking in my mind, Lord, is there anything that I'm missing as I'm talking today? Is there anything else that I need to say? Is there anybody that needs a special touch from God? You know, I saw something here, and this is oil for anointing. Am I right? Our little church in Virginia just celebrated its first anniversary. And it was a very unique service, done very differently than I normally tend to do a service. Had some great musicians in, great music, very different, totally non-liturgic. And I felt the necessity to bring out my oil stock. I had it ready. And we came to a time of prayer before I gave my message. Now I'm going to do it after. And the Lord just laid on my heart, get that oil out.
and I grabbed it. And I figured, I knew that one person had indicated that they would want to be anointed for whatever their problem was, whether it be a physical problem, a spiritual problem, didn't matter. And so I said, anybody that, you don't even have to come to me, I'll come to you, what I said. And I said, Lord, is there anybody in this room that needs to be anointed and made clean before you? Well, the first hand went up, then a second, then a tenth, and then a 20th. And I went through that church, and in a matter of minutes, just quickly took a small amount of oil and dipped it on the forehead, and I anointed them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. God knows what the need is. The Bible says, come before the elders of the church to be anointed with oil to be healed. Healing is not just a physical thing. It can include metal. It can include addictions. It can include sin. It can include a whole host of things. Is there anybody that needs that touch today? Amen. Start right here. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you know the need of this, your servant. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Lord, touch your child today and meet their need in Jesus' name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Lord, meet the needs of your children today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Anointing
in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
There is a still
in the name of the Father.
In the atmosphere.
Come
and lay down.
You know what your children need today.
The burdens
you each one in this room.
Have carried.
In the name of the Father.
In the sanctuary.
In the name of the Father. And the Son.
The is here.
In the name of the Father and of the Son.
There is a sweet anointing. There is a still. Come and lay down the burdens you have carried. For in the sanctuary, heal the hopeless heart and bless the broken. So come on and lay down.
Lord, I thank you for this time of anointing. Lord, I pray now by the power of your Holy Spirit that the power of your Spirit descend upon all in this room, that all their needs be met in Jesus' name. Whatever the bond that is holding them, break it in Jesus' name. Break every chain. Lord, do not let the demonic powers of hell deceive us any longer. Open our eyes to see and our ears to hear and our hearts to receive that message. Don't let us be made strangers to you any longer. Lord, wash us whiter than snow. Separate our sin as far as the east is from the west. Restore us. King David, I'm going to close on this, was the apple of God's eye. Great king, you remember him? You know, took down Goliath, became king, and Israel prospered under his rule. And with all the blessings that God had given him, with all that he knew, all that he understood, all that he had been given by the power of the Holy Spirit, believe it or not, he failed. He saw a woman, got to have her, and attempted to have the husband killed on the front line to get her for himself. He thought he was getting away with it. How many times do we think that we're hiding our sin from God? It don't work. I'm going to tell you right now, you can try to hide. You can run, but you cannot hide. What do we read? The prophet comes to the king and talks about a guy that, king, there was a guy that stole somebody's sheep. Well, we need to deal with him and flog him and imprison him and what? No, that was you, David. It's what you did. That spirit of conviction hit him hard and heavy. David spent a long time in sackcloth and ashes. Why? So he could write these words. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. David was forgiven by God. He was restored. I don't know what your protocol is for when you come to do communion. I know that I'll do my part in a moment. I'm not sure the musicians come back up or how we do this. You're going to have to guide me a little bit. I appreciate it. All right. Yeah, we'll do that in just a moment. We'd leave it right there. I haven't blessed it all yet. You can uncover this one too. Where do we put? Remember, I'm so used to doing a chalice and a bunch of other stuff. Before I administer the very simple words of institution that are found in Corinthians, in the earliest practice of the church, we confessed our sins one to another. I'm going to just lead in a prayer, and you just kind of pray along with me in your mind. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, knowing that we have failed you in thought, word, and deed. Not so much by the things that we've done, but even, Lord, by the things that we have left undone that you have asked us to do. Lord, we cover ourselves spiritually with ashes. We seek to be cleansed and clean before you today as we come to your table that you have invited us as a guest. The ancient writer wrote, "Humbly I adore thee, verity unseen." We don't understand all of this. We don't even have to. But I ask you to come forward with a clean heart, a renewed spirit, and knowing that I, as an ordained servant of God, declare unto you what God's word has promised, that if you have confessed your sins, He has forgiven those sins. Would you give God a hand for the forgiveness He has given you? All of you that made that prayer today are restored. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news that we can come to this table? Not that we are worthy, but He has made us worthy by His grace and by His blood. We need to start living that way. Live in victory, not as defeated individuals. That's the big lie. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread. And He had given thanks. He broke it and gave it unto His disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is given for you." After the same manner also He took the cup. When He had supped, He gave it to His disciples, saying, "Drink ye all of this. This is My blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the remission of your sins." Notice, remission of your sins. Do this in remembrance of Me. The word used in the Bible is anamnesis, to bring into the present those things of the past as they are now. We are gathering with those disciples in that upper room. We are gathering now with Jesus in the upper room. He invites you into that upper room, forgiven, restored, full of His grace. Are you ready? Are you ready to receive Him and know that your life will be changed when you walk out of this room today? Come now to the table of the Lord.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
I come, O Savior, to Your table. For weak and weary is my soul. Oh, Jesus, You alone are able to satisfy and make me whole. Lord, may Your body and Your blood be for my soul the highest good. Lord, may Your body and Your blood be for my soul the highest good. Unworthy though I am, O Savior, because I have a sinful heart, yet You, Your Lamb, will banish never, nor will Your faithfulness depart. Lord, may Your body and Your blood be for my soul the highest. now become your dwelling. O blessed Holy Trinity, with angels I your praises tell, shall live in joy eternally.
Well, I know for many of you, this was a very different edition of Truth to Ponder. But I want to thank you for taking the time to listen. I've wanted to share this message since it was first recorded, and I'll be probably using bits and pieces going forward on the regular weekday edition of the program. But I felt for the Voice of Hope in Africa, and for some other stations that could air this and as a podcast, to keep it all contained, the entire message, in one program. And I hope it was a blessing to you. You know, I spent a lot of time being your newsman. I spent a lot of time digging through the news and trying to give you insight. But really at heart, I really want to share the good news of the gospel more than anything else. I know a lot of you depend upon the analysis and the things that we discuss here in this program to help you get through this crazy and strange world in which we live. But you want to know something? If all I'm doing is sharing the news or politics or whatever bad thing is going to happen, but I don't put it in the light of God's Word, what use is it to you? None. There are so many other voices on television, on radio, as a podcast, on videos, written word online, doesn't matter. There's so many other people that do a great job on political analysis, on political pundancy, on news stories, and breaking through the lies that the mainstream media has been telling the world for decades. That's how this program was born to begin with. Truth to ponder. But the greatest truth that there is the truth that is found in God's Word. And that's why we do the program. Now, if you believe in the mission and ministry, would you let me know? You can visit our website, truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. You can also support us financially from the website using Give, Send, Go, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. That's Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowee, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowee, Virginia, zip code 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. The city, Chilhowee, Virginia, 24319. That's zip again, 24319, and we will see you next week.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.